Good evening.
Get everything out of here.
All right. Now, Nehemiah chapter 13. Pastor was talking this morning how crazy the world is. Made me think of Einstein. He goes to the train station, and he looks at the train, and he says, "Am I moving past the train, or is the train moving past me?" And that's Einstein. That's what he didn't know. If you think Einstein was a smart man, I have at it. That man was crazy. Don't know if the train's moving. All right, Nehemiah chapter 13. And we'll start in verse number 1. On that day, they read in the book of Moses in the audience of the people, and therein was found written that the Ammonite and the Moabite should not come into the congregation of God forever. Pretty clear. Because they met not the children of Israel with bread and with water, but hired Balaam against them that he should curse them. Howbeit, our God turned the curse into a blessing. Now it came to pass, when they had heard the law, that they separated from Israel all the mixed multitude. Good thing. Nehemiah did a lot of hard things and stood up against a lot of opposition. Verse 4 sends you back in time. And it doesn't send you very far back, but it sends you far enough back. Exact amount of time, I'm not 100% sure. But at some point, when Nehemiah came, this started to happen. And it wasn't a very long time, but it was maybe a couple years. I don't really know for sure. Nehemiah comes back to build the walls, and this thing comes up. And he goes back to kind of how this thing started before the whole multitude got mixed together and went in complete disobedience to God's command. So he's going to get you to where verse 1 through 3 went to. He's going to kind of start over how it gets there. And so in verse 4, he says, "And before this," before all this happened in verse 1 through 3, "Eliashib, the priest, having the oversight of the chamber of the house of our God, was allied unto Tobiah." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I do thank you again for your goodness to us and just the mercy you give us each day. And Lord, thank you for our pastor. I pray you'd lift him up tonight and give him strength and recovery. I know he's been through a lot last week and just a lot of spiritual pressure that he faces. And so, Lord, I pray you'd bless with even preparations for this week. You'd give him strength. Father, we ask for your help here tonight, and I know I need your help, and Lord, that you would sow the seed in good ground, that it could bear fruit, and that you would help, Lord, just with sin, the world, and just the constant battle we face. I pray they'd give some strength and help and to see some of the roots of sin, and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so at the end of the verse 4, he says he was allied unto Tobiah. And that alliance looks like maybe a little thing, and that is the whole point of this message. It is just a little thing. It's just an alliance. It's not a, hey, you come to me, I come to you, we'll just, you know, be friends forever. It's just, it's a truce. And leaven doesn't start out big. It starts out small. And it's not a huge thing. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump, as Galatians 5 says. And this guy here, he knows he's not supposed to have anything to do with Ammon and Moab. God said, don't you, Israel, have anything to do with them. I'm going to put Ammon and Moab in the place of the world, and you'll see exactly why. But this world is not your friend. It is your enemy. And your flesh is your worst enemy. I Granted, I know the devil's a roaring lion. He is a terrible enemy. But today and tonight, I'm going to preach on the world. And I'm going to preach against the world. And the world has a lot of things to offer that, you know, attract people and just ensnare people. And it just goes with the conglomerate. And we like to go with the conglomerate. We like to go with all the people. You don't like to go against the tide, unless you're not like me. But if you're like me, you don't like to go against the tide. Everyone's coming this way, and you're going that way. And it's just, we were leaving the football game the other day, and everyone's coming in, and we're trying to go out. And it's like, whoa, I mean, everybody's coming. I'm trying to dodge people, like trying, but, you know, they're coming. And just little guys, you know, they don't do well in big crowds. If I had a couple hundred more pounds on me, I'd be set to go. I'd just plow right through, wouldn't care a bit. But anyway, not to get off track, these guys, they're not supposed to have anything to do with them. And you find him having an alliance with them. And that's where it starts. That's where it begins. They're the enemy. God puts together who the enemy is. He tells you who the enemy is, and through the word, you know what the enemy does and how it works, if you read your Bible. But it starts out by making a truce. There's a lot of things that go on with birds, and I really don't care about birds, but tests have proven that one drop of oil, no larger than a quarter, will work its way through the plumage of a bird to cause slow but certain death from exposure and starvation. Just one drop of oil will kill the bird. So they scream about oil and getting, you know, whatever. But one drop of oil will kill a bird. It's not a lot. One drop, won't it just wash off? No, they can't wash it off. It gets in there and it's stuck. It ruins the insulation and the properties of how the bird operates and interferes with the normal function of its flight and the wings and stuff. In an event, that bird will die. It can't fly, it can't hunt, can't do anything, go find food, and the poor thing starves to death. if you see how much I care. But the world... The world's your enemy. And a little drop of the world, you know, doesn't seem like a harmful thing. But that's why the world, or the Lord warns you about the world, because it is very destructive. It slips in there just a little bit at a time. Now, I want you to see a little bit more about this alliance. Come to 2 Chronicles chapter 18. Well-beloved king here, Jehoshaphat. And Jehoshaphat was a good king. God loved him. He had a lot of good things. He prepared his heart to seek the Lord. He got rid of idols. He turned Israel to the Lord. He was a good king. But he had one problem. Look at verse number 1. 2 Chronicles 18:1. Now Jehoshaphat had riches and honor in abundance, because God blessed him, and joined affinity with Ahab. There it is. It's an alliance. And it starts out small. Hey, let's just make a truce. Hey, we won't be enemies anymore. You stay on your side of the fence. I'll stay on my side of the fence. You do your thing. I'll do my thing. But hey, we're not going to be enemies. I'm not going to talk bad about you. I'm not going to look down on you. You do your thing. I'll do my thing. Starts out small. It's an indifference. It's an uncaring attitude about sin. Hey, they do their thing, I'll do my thing. I'll serve the Lord, they'll serve their God, the devil. And it seems like, okay, whatever. But that's not the Christian's attitude, it's supposed to be. The world is his enemy. The world is out there to destroy you and to kill you. The world is out to mess you up, and it has messed up hundreds of Christians. Thousands, who knows how many you could count. But the world is a very ferocious adversary. Now look at verse number 2. It goes a little farther. It says, and after certain years. See, time goes on, and eventually with an alliance, something's going to grow out of it. just with a truce. As soon as you say, hey, world, you're not my enemy. I don't hate you and just want you out of my life. I mean, with some vigor. I didn't put enough zeal into it. But if you get mad at the world like you should, get mad at what's just there to destroy you and take over you, it'll get you. It'll tear you down as well. After certain years, he went down to Ahab to Samaria. It grew. And Ahab, of course, hey, I'm so glad you come. What took you so long? The world can't wait for you to come back. That's what they want. Hey, just be conformed. Just go along with the crowd. Stop fighting against us, man. You can't win. Look how many of you against the whole world. Yeah. You don't stand a chance in their eyes. Come on. This is ridiculous. You're serving something you can't even see. You're following just one book. It's ridiculous to them. They don't understand it. They hate your God. They hate your Savior. They hate your testimony. They don't want you to say anything bad about it, about them, about what they do, about how they live. Now, I'm not here to tell you to go into a bar and tell everybody, hey, y'all a bunch of sinners in here. Don't be dumb. Don't be a fool. Yeah, that's not what I'm condoning. I think, you know, this isn't my pulpit already to begin with. Okay? Use some common sense. But things are going to come up. Just in your daily life, you're going to rub. It's hard to make decisions. You try and win the lost. You try and befriend them to, get the gospel to them to some degree. But you better beware that they want to destroy you. You better beware that they want to destroy your kids. A little leaven leavens a whole lump. Well, he killed a whole bunch of oxen in abundance. And in verse 2, he persuaded him. Wow, how'd that happen? Look at verse 3. Jehoshaphat goes up and says, I am as thou art, and my people as thy people. I don't know how much time goes by. But Jehoshaphat says, hey, I'm one of you. What in the world is he doing? No, he's not. Ahab is a wicked king. If you read the Bible, he is a horrible man. And Jehoshaphat, he got where he got because he made an alliance. He made a truce to say, world, you're not my enemy. I'm just going to leave you aside. Hey, we're just not going to be, I'm not going to fight anymore. I'm just going to put down the fight. Hey, you do your thing, I do my thing. It's an alliance. Look at 2 Chronicles chapter 19. And see where this leads to. Verse number 1. And Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, returned to his house in peace to Jerusalem. Why? Ahab is dead on the battlefield. He went with Ahab, if you know the story in chapter 18. He dresses up, you know, Ahab and the whole prophet. Jehoshaphat knew what the Bible was. He's a Bible believer. He knows what the good prophet is versus the bad prophet. He knows, hey, all these prophets that you got aren't right. But yet still, what is he doing with an alliance with him? What is he doing with him now? What is he doing in the position he's in? Going to battle dressed as the king while the other guy is hiding. It's ridiculous. But look at verse 1. He returns to his house. In verse 2, Jehu, the son of Hanani, the seer, went out to meet him and said to King Jehoshaphat, shouldest thou help the ungodly and love them that hate the Lord? That's where you need to start being careful. How much you help them. What you help them in. What you do. How much time you spend with them. How much love you have for them versus how much just love to get them saved. It turns. It's hard to make that differentiation. You all know what I mean. I hope you. We all have trying friends. You try and reach the lost. Unless you haven't tried to reach them, it's hard. How much do I befriend them? How far do I go? What do I do in these situations to try and get them to see that Jesus Christ died for their sins and they need him? How far do you go? You better be careful, because they want to destroy you. They want you to get along. They want you to come in just little by little. They don't want to serve your God, even though they'll say, hey, we'll serve your God. Well, hey, just come on in. You can share your opinions with us. They don't care about your opinions. They don't share what you want. They just be more like us. Just join our crowd. Once you're in, they can get you. So be careful about how you step in. Careful with your alliances. Look at verse 2. He says, shouldest thou help the ungodly and love them that hate the Lord? Therefore is wrath upon thee from before the Lord. Jehoshaphat didn't get away with it. Something came of it. Look at verse 3. He says, nevertheless, there are good things found in thee. And this is what I told you. He had gotten rid of images and he prepared his heart to seek God. You better be careful of the world, because it's going to get you some wrath, some trouble coming your way. I know this is where the gray area starts coming in. How much do you help them? How much do you not? Don't make an alliance with them. Make sure your stand is clean with God, that you're on his side and not on the world's side. Try and help them, try and befriend them, do some things with them, you know, build up conversations to point, but you better make sure your stand is on the Lord's side, or they will destroy you. Look at chapter 20. Look at verse 35. After this, here he goes again. I mean, I don't know what's wrong with this guy. Except that he's just like me. Verse 35, after this did Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, join himself, should I add again? Don't want to add it, but yeah. With Ahaziah, king of Israel, who did very wickedly. What is he doing with him? He's just trying to get ships to go to Tarshish. Hey, this is a good business venture. It's profitable. Hey, I don't want to go serve your God. I know you're wicked. I know you do your stuff and it's evil and all that, but hey, let's get together on this because, hey, we could make some money. You know what happens to Jehoshaphat? Look at chapter 21 and verse number 6. In verse number 5, he dies in verse number 1, but Jehoram shows up in verse number 5. He is 32 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 8 years in Jerusalem. And he walked in the way of the kings of Israel. Why? He's a king of Judah. Like as did the house of Ahab, for he had the daughter of Ahab to wife. You know what that alliance got him? A daughter-in-law. One that just destroyed Israel from there on out. And those things came through, and I mean, you can see Ahab and their work and all that they did into the line of Judah, and it did a lot of destruction. Why? Jehoshaphat made an alliance. He made a truce. This world is not your friend. It'll destroy you. It'll destroy your kids. It'll destroy all your generations. It'll take you down. You know, it's not that you're doing the sin, but it's that you're consenting to it. It's not like, okay, I'm not going to do this, but if you do it, it's okay. You know, they like to do, change names. Don't call adultery adultery. Call it adult consent, right? Because then it doesn't sound so bad. Instead of gay, call it, or sodomy, call it gay. Right? It sounds happier. Doesn't sound so wicked and evil. Because that's exactly what it is. And I'm glad Pastor keeps preaching on. I hope it bugs you. If you have any bugs in you, I hope it bugs you, because you need to be bugged. Because that stuff is wicked and evil before the Lord. He hates it. Don't be allianced with it. Don't be okay with it. Hey, if you do, what you do is okay. No, it's not. It's sin. Ephesians 5, verse 11, go there. I hope you do know that they changed GRID to AIDS. Because the acronym GRID stands for gay-related immune deficiency. So they changed it to autoimmune deficiency syndrome so it didn't sound bad. Call it woman's rights instead of usurping authority. Ephesians 5:11. This is supposed to be the Christian's attitude towards the world. This is how Jesus' attitude was towards the world. Verse 11, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Now, if you're anything like me, you don't like doing that. I mean, it's just awkward. It comes up. I mean, the only one I know who enjoys doing that is Brother Caribou. And I appreciate, oh man, I wish I had more of those guts. And I'm sure he gets nervous too. He's a man just like me. I appreciate that though. I need more of that to reprove the world. I need more madness against sin. Hate sin. Want to take revenge on it. Have zeal against it to destroy it out of my life. I don't want it to be my friend. I don't want to be okay with it. Because as soon as I'm okay with it, hey, whatever you do, I just don't care. I'm not going to fight you. It'll take you over. Half-truth instead of a lie. Self-esteem instead of pride. Impatience is actually just holy caution. Self-will is zeal for God. Laziness is holy, or no, I messed that one up. Independence instead of rebellion. Of course, communists are political activists. That doesn't sound bad. Stealing land is called environmental protection. Disciplining children, of course, comes out as child abuse. And of course, for your social safety. We have a lot gone on in this last year. You know what this the Nehemiah, what they did? They said separate. Verse 3, that's what we read back in Nehemiah 13. You can go back there because that's where we're going to stay. But he said separate. Come out from among them and be ye separate. Rather reprove them. Love not the world. All those things. There's no other word for sin but sin. That's what it is. Should I take a bottle of poison and put it out there and say, hey, here, this is harmless, or this is wintergreen. Try it. Make your breath smell fresh. Oh, look at verse number 4. He was allied unto Tobiah. What happens after this alliance? Well, in verse 5, he prepares for him a great chamber, where aforetime they laid the meat offerings, the frankincense, and the vessels, and the tithes of the corn, the new wine and the oil, which was commanded to be given to the Levites, and the singers, and the porters, and the offerings of the priests. So you know what happens here is now, hey, we have an alliance with the enemy. We got to make the enemy happy. Something's come up here. We got to get together. He starts building a safe place for him. And the safe place he chooses is right in the house of God. Isn't your temple the body of the Holy Ghost? That's where we build him. Right in the place where God's supposed to be. And that's where the enemy likes to get in. It starts small, this affinity. It seemed harmless. Hey, that's not a problem. But now the guy's harboring the enemy. He's got them in the house of God. He's prepared place for them. And now the Levites aren't getting their due because he cleaned out the tithes. Maybe he gave them to Tobiah. I don't know what he did with them. But didn't do good with them. He's protecting the enemy. He's sticking up for him. You think of Achan not getting right. Why didn't Achan get right? He didn't have to die. They waited till morning. Achan had all night to get right. But no, he harbored that thing. He left that thing hidden in his tent. Eliashib is making Tobiah comfortable. He's making provision for him. And he's now stopping one of his duties. Taking care of the house of God. He's got that room now set up for sin, rather than for what God wants it set up for. And think of Jonah. I do well to be angry, even unto death. Man, he harbored that anger. Lord, I don't want that anger. I want to be angry against anger. Get rid of it. Bitterness is easy to harbor. We heard a great message on bitterness a few weeks ago. But bitterness is one of those things that harbor. And Cain had envy, but he killed his brother because of it. Another two big ones are music and pornography. Nobody knows what you listen to at home or in your headphones. What you got on your phone, I don't even want to look at phones. What people put on there, what they do, I mean, really? Christians will just discourage you, man, if you knew what's going on. And it's hard, and you try and fight for the Lord, and there it is. Many Christians now will defend the sodomites. Hey, they're people too. God died for them. He needs to love you. You need to love them to share the love. No! Get right, repent! Then we can think about loving. Music is a very destructive thing. And nobody can see it. It's one of those things, harbors in there. And music, especially contemporary Christian music, has destroyed many, many churches. Don't just go on YouTube and just start watching every Christian music, spiritual song that they say. It's a whole bunch of garbage on there. Watch out. Pornography is going to tear you apart. Hate it. I want it destroyed. Don't look at it. You're going to see it. I mean, just walk around. Hate it. Get a vengeance against it. I'm not okay with it. It's evil. Wicked. Keep a positive attitude against it. You know, Corrie Ten Boom, and she's a Dutch lady reformer in World War II. She harbored the Jews, and she paid for it. Why? Because the enemy didn't like her harboring and giving safety to the Jews. That's a reversal, you know, of the illustration here. But you harbor sin, and you're going to get God's wrath. That's what Jehoshaphat got. So you know what you're supposed to do in verse 8? In verse 9, Nehemiah, it grieved him sore. Therefore, I cast forth all the household stuff of Tobiah out of the chamber. Amen. Get it out. Clean house. Throw out that wicked stuff. Get it out. Destroy it. If you can't handle it, beat it and destroy it and get it out. There's a lot of gray areas, right? What do I do? What do I not? Not pornography. Some things don't have gray areas. What do I allow in my house? What do I not allow in my house? You got to be careful, though. They say if you throw a frog into a boiling pot of water, that frog will jump out. But if you put a frog in a pot of nice temperature water and slowly heat up that water to where it becomes a boil, that frog won't know that danger's coming, and it'll boil him to death. So why? Just a little bit of leaven. Just a little bit at a time. You better be on guard. I know you try, and that's why you keep coming back. That's the purpose of keep coming back. That's why I keep coming back, because I don't want to let my guard down. As soon as I stop, bang, it'll get you. I've only been here 15 years, and I've seen countless people destroyed. I hate it. I don't want to see people destroyed. I have to fight because I'm going to get destroyed. I'm not big enough to conquer the thing. I'm not reached any plateau. I'm on guard myself. Look at verse 10. He started forsaking the house of God. And I perceived that the portions of the Levites had not been given them, for the Levites and the singers that did the work everywhere fled, everyone to his field. So he contends with them and asked, why is the house of God forsaken? Well, they started with an alliance. That's why. It's a little leaven. Just be your friend. It's not even be your friend. I mean, you know what I'm saying. Just starts out small. So the Levites, they don't get their food, their daily needs. They're gone. They've left because, hey, someone's not faithful to the Lord. You think of Eli and his two sons. He didn't restrain them when he could. So, in the easy, you know, that's in the Greek. You think of how many Christians that have gotten torn out. How many wives that can't stand the preaching. I remember being down at Pensacola, and I mean, Dr. Ruckman just had a way with women. I just make them so happy and feel so loved and kind. And I mean, just the way he spoke was just, whew! You know, and better be careful. Better be careful. Don't forsake the house of God. Then, not long after, there go the husbands. Seen so many happen that way. I wish I didn't have close to home stories, but I do. All kinds of reasons people leave. But there's in a monastery in Germany, a good place for it, I guess, but you can observe two pair of deer antlers. These deer, it was found in the forest, but these deer antlers were found locked together. These deer had smashed so hard, they snapped into place where they could not get apart. Those deer had been fighting to the death, as what animals do. And they're fighting, and this guy comes across, and a preacher ended up seeing it, and he said, man, I wish I could take those deer antlers and bring them to every home, bring them to every school, bring them into every church, and show people what fighting will do to get your own way. Both those deer obviously died. They starved to death. They can't do anything connected like that. And it, of course, killed them both. But they're locked horns. You know what you should do? Verse 12, he brought all Judah the tithe, the corn, and the new wine, and the oil under the treasuries. He made treasurers over the treasuries. Shelemiah the priest, and Zadok the scribe, and of the Levites, Pedaiah. And next to them was Hanan, the son of Zakur, the son of Mattaniah, for they were counted faithful. Be faithful. That's what you should do. Look at verse 15. Keep flowing through here, Nehemiah 13. It's quite a chapter. Verse 15. In those days saw I in Judah some treading wine presses on the Sabbath, and bringing in sheaves and lading asses, as also wine, grapes and figs, and all manner of burdens, which they brought into Jerusalem on the Sabbath day. And I testified against them in the day wherein they sold victuals. There dwelt men of Tyre also therein, which brought fish and all manner of ware, and sold on the Sabbath. Verse 17, he contends with them and says, what evil thing is this that ye do? And profane the Sabbath day. And that's what they're not supposed to do, the Israelites. We don't have the Sabbath day observance in that way. But the Israelites, what they're doing instead of being in the temple on the Sabbath is they're out there with Tyre. What do you give me? What do you give me? A little bit of this. Okay, trade, barter. Let's see what we can do. You see how this grows? In Nehemiah chapter 13, that's what we're seeing is a growth. It's just a little bit of leaven, but as it spreads, it gets bigger and bigger. And now these guys, there's no difference between God's people and the world's people because they're out doing the exact same thing. It just grows and gets bigger. They're in direct violation of what God has told them to do. They haven't learned from past. In verse 18, you see that he says, did not your fathers thus? And did not our God bring all this evil upon us and upon this city? Yet ye bring more wrath upon Israel by profaning the Sabbath. Don't you remember the guy picking up manna? How about the guy picking up sticks? Did you forget about that one? I mean, that was a weird story. You go through there and a guy picks up sticks and they have to stone him. Wow. Okay. Doesn't that put any fear in you? I mean, if that was a lot, wow. That would, no. Okay, God, you're serious about this. Kill him. He picked up sticks. I'd keep my hands folding in my lap, sitting. What do I do? Don't be careful. You need to be careful, Christian. I know you try, but just reminding you. Just reminding you who your enemy is. See, the world will wait for you to get over it. Look at verse 20. And in verse 19... Nehemiah commands that the gates should be shut, charged that they should not be opened till after the Sabbath. And in verse 20, so the merchants and sellers of all kind of ware lodged without Jerusalem once or twice. We're waiting for you to come back. Hey, this will pass over. I know you want to come out here and buy. We got good stuff for you. Hey, this is good stuff. This is fun. You need some entertainment, man, don't you know? Don't you need some entertainment? What do we do? What do we do? I'm done working today. What do I do? Isn't that what kids sit around at home doing? There's nothing to do. You get old and you sit around, there's nothing to do. What do we do? You better be careful with that entertainment. I think you need some entertainment. But you better be careful with that world. Because that world is there to destroy you. You better keep your enemy exactly known who you don't like and whose side you're on. So they're sitting around there. And he goes out there and says, I don't want to be in the Old Testament. I'm with Pastor all the way. But boy, that guy, he goes out there and he picks him up by his shirt and he says, if you come back here again, I'm a little guy anyway, so I mean, I don't have much to do. But anyway, you pull out your .357 and come around here again. I may look small, but this guy is a little bit bigger than me. Where does this go? It goes into marriage with the world. You know, there's a guy here, when Hitler began interfering with the churches and humiliating the German Jews, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, a loyal German himself, began to resist and protest. He refused to participate in the state churches, which bowed down to the Führer's demands. Several of Bonhoeffer's friends urged him to bend. Hey, just chill out. They argued that they would lose the opportunity to preach altogether if they followed Bonhoeffer's example. He replied, one act of obedience is better than 1,000 sermons. And he was killed for his stand. What are you going to do? I don't like to think about that. I know you don't like to think about that. Well, that's why you're here, to think about that. To get you to think. That's why you come to church, right? Just to get you to think. Because I know we don't think when we're at home. Sit on the couch. The funniest thing is a nothing box. Women know nothing about a nothing box. Well, this other guy was talking. We were joking. But boy, men sit around in their nothing box often enough. Oh, man. When I heard that, that was the funniest thing. I know what a nothing box is. I got one. I'll sit there. Not a thing, man. My wife's, how in the world do you do that? What is a nothing box? If you women don't know what a nothing box is, you're missing out. I like it. You just go there, and you know what happens? Exactly. It's a great place to be. Just zone out. Where did I get to that one? But look at verse number 23. So where these guys end up is marriage. And that's why in verse 1 through 3, they're separating the mixed multitude. We're right back there again, and we're almost finished. So don't worry if you're tired, or we're going to be done here really quick. We're wrapping it up. Verse 23, he says, "In those days also saw I Jews that had married wives of Ashdod, of Ammon," there it is, that's verse 1, "and of Moab," verse 1. They're married. How'd they get there? Well, before all this, they were allied. That's how it gets there. And as soon as you let down your guard, that's what the world's waiting for you. Just let down your guard. Don't be so negative. Don't be so hard against them. I mean, come on. Show a little grace. Have a little love. And you do need some. But you better make your stance clear. Look at verse 24. "Their children spake half in the speech of Ashdod." Their speech changes. Your speech sound like the world? I hope it doesn't. But I'm very well I know how to come to church and talk one way and go back out into the world and talk a completely different way. So I have no idea if you're fooling me or not, and I really don't care if you're fooling me or not. That's none of my business anymore. But I know how it goes, and it happens in the church. There's too many people in here to say you're all just wonderful, happy, just beautiful people. Don't trust me either. Because I got to fight too. I just keep on your own ground. Keep on your own what's going on. I need to fight and hate the world. Because that's what Jesus did. He hated and testified against it that the works thereof are evil. Don't love the world. If you love the world, you're not loving the Father. "Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world." There's a lot good to offer them from this world. It's evil, but boy, it looks good. They put icing on it, you know, and you read through Proverbs. Man, you see, oh, there's that strange woman, you know, and oh, she's beautiful, and it goes through, and she's decked herself and all that. And it says her paths are the way of death, her way to hell. Is that your idea, men? "Lust not after her beauty in thine heart. Hate her." She's all over the place. Everywhere. She wants to destroy you. And that's what she did to Solomon. You know, Solomon, look down at verse 26. He said, "Did not Solomon, king of Israel, sin by these things?" Well, they're joined with Ammon and Moab. They're joined with the world. That's what the type is. He says, yet among many nations was there no king like him. Oh, this is a good guy. Who was beloved of his God. Does God love you? God working through you? Are you a Bible believer? I'll tell you what, Solomon was a lot smarter than you. I believe Solomon was a lot closer to God than I've ever been. Read his books, man. Whoo! What happened? God made him king over all Israel. Nevertheless, you better watch out. You're not strong as you think you are. You are a little weakling. And you need God. Because that strange woman is looking out there to destroy you. He that is abhorred of the Lord shall fall into her pit. Lord, please don't let me be abhorred by you. Please keep me. Don't let me fall. I want the Lord. I don't want the world, but the world will destroy you. It is a very real adversary. It will appeal to all the lust of your flesh that you know you have. It'll take you down. It's serious. It wrecks the children here. Nehemiah does a wonderful thing and just starts pulling out his hair and starts beating on them. A wonderful pastor. I mean, that's cool. I think it's cool. I wish my pastor would do that sometimes. I need a beat down. Sometimes I wish I had a beat down rather than the whipping of the tongue. A man could take a punch. I know I'm small. But I've been in plenty of fights. I win, I lose them all, but hey, I've been in them, I'll take it. a guy'd rather be punched than torn down by a tongue, rather than ridiculed or rebuked, told he's wrong to his face. I'd rather take a punch. Nehemiah, he'd dish him out, man. Hey, Nehemiah, come on, I need some. The pastor puts them on you. He puts them on me. Say, how did all this get started for Solomon? Look back at 1 Kings chapter 3, I'll tell you. 1 Kings chapter 3. Not me, preacher. You're stronger than Solomon, huh? You better know. You are not as strong as you think you are. That's what the devil wants you to think. You're a tough Christian. You're a big guy. Man, you can handle a lot. Man, you've learned a lot of Bible, man. You've been to church. You've conquered some things, man. Victory is yours. You're defeated already. 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 1. And Solomon made affinity with Pharaoh, king of Egypt. It's where it all begins for Solomon. Man, a guy that was beloved of God and, I mean, wrote some beautiful stuff in Song of Solomon and just the wisdom he had. Go through Proverbs. The wisdom he had with women. How'd you end up with 1,000? Make an alliance. That's all you have to do. Just truce. Okay? I quit. You be yours, I'll be mine. We'll be fine. What do I do, preacher? You get to the blood. Cleanse it. Get it out. Let's pray.